I give money, I want to make sure that it's going to count for something. Because like I told you before, we may end up getting to heaven and find out things we did weren't accepted. That's the bad part, because we don't have assurance that these things are going to be accepted. Because an offering is something that somebody can accept or reject. I don't know what God's standard is. You understand? I'm worried about that. I would be worried about that. So, to me, I want to do the best I can to make sure everything's right. Give it to Him with a right heart attitude, right motive, not grudgingly. There's been times I said, I'm not going to give. You know? And I quit. Pardon? What's that? Yeah, you can. But I'm just saying, as much as I can make it right with myself and God, that's the way I want to play a ball game. Because I really don't want to lose rewards. I want, when I get to heaven, I want something to be up there. Amen? I want something that's going to account for this life down here on earth. I really want something up there. So, I'm going to try to do the best I can, make whatever it is, give God acceptable, dedicated to Him, set apart for Him, things like that. I'm trying to be conscious of doing those types of things because it's really neat. Well, Father, I do this. I'll lend to you now for your glory and joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we are in the book of Lamentations, and I believe chapter 3 is the one we want. I want to read something here. Now, why were these guys in trouble? Here in Lamentations. Can you tell me? Because they're living like hell, amen. They're doing everything exactly against what God wanted. Now, what paper is this right here? What? The Cincinnati Post. What is your problem, boy? Dayton Daily News, right? What is that paper? Where do you think it's from? Israel. How about that? Jerusalem Post, International Edition. For the week ending April 2nd, 1988. Nisan 5748. Shaban 16-1408. I got all these things, amen. Different dates. I want to read you something. Why are these people in trouble here? In Lamentations, why? Nothing like hell. Why, that's right. Now listen to this. Homosexual relations legalized. Where are we talking about? What country? Can you believe it? A far-reaching amendment to the penal code that was passed into law in the Knesset last week raises to 20 years the maximum penalty for rape under aggravated circumstances and also legalizes homosexuality between consenting adults. Can you imagine that? The land of the Bible. The law was nursed for 10 years by Shulamit Aloni, Citizens' Rights Movement. The law also makes publication of the name or identifying details of the victim of a sex attack punishable by 1 year's imprisonment unless the victim gives permission in court for the details to be published. Despite the general provision in the law relating to statutory rape, a boy who is no more than 2 years older than the girl and who is also her boyfriend can plead in mitigation in his relationship with her. That means if you're within 2 years old of a girl, you date her, you can rape her. That's what that means, you see? This is terrible. Hey, rape, no matter how old the jerk is wrong. And to give a guy a 2 year leeway because They're just near the same age. That's stupid, boy. That is stupid. And then plenty of times you read today about women being date raped. They go out on a date, boy rapes them. They're just stuck. And here, not to give... Look here. How many of these people now, these girls, how many of these people are going to go along with the ball game after they're raped? How many are going to go to the police station and say, hey, he did this to me? Well, what recourse is left for those poor girls? Yeah, murder, amen. Look, there's not much left, is there? Because a woman has a hard enough time now going before officials when something like that happens. Now when there's a great chance that this yo-yo is going to come back and say, man, she let me go this far, or what? Well, I mean, who? They come up with any story. The girl has no protection now, you see? There's a real bad deal here. The law also provides protection against rape for prostitutes by making it unlawful to investigate the sexual past of the injured party. Well, that's good. Alone, I said in a comment that the law was deficient in that it presents women as objects and as passive participants. Nowhere is there any suggestion that it may be the girl or woman who is responsible for the rape.
Well, of course.
I mean, if a girl's going to complain about it, she probably didn't want to be messed with anyway. Amen? These people are stupid. I'm not saying this woman is particularly, but the concept, amen? To have that type of idea is just stupid. The law's provisions regarding sex between men are covered in three clauses totaling six lines. They treat sexual relations between consenting adult males exactly as they treat relations between consenting males and females. They ignore them. Man, you can't ignore sin. Look here, we've ignored in our country, and we're paying a high price for it. Everybody's paying now, and they expect within a few years the health system will crash because of the burden that people with AIDS will put upon our system. And then they got rights under civil rights law, protect them handicapped, they can work, continue to be with people, continue to spread their disease in relationships with people, or however this disease is spread. Brother, I'm sorry, I haven't got that article back to you yet. I just now remembered. I asked my wife to copy it, she copied it. Somehow we've forgotten about it. But that article was very good. It shows that the AIDS epidemic could not have been something that was just started in a green monkey in Africa a whole bunch of years ago. Because it says there's a word. I'll just have to use the word appearance. The appearance of this disease in great quantities of people in large sections of the world all at one time show that it had to be something that was done by people. And what this article says, it says that there were some people working on a hepatitis B vaccine, and they did some type of genetic engineering or something like this called some type of mutants. And what they did, they gave this injection to queers and other people and saying it was an antibiotic so you wouldn't get hepatitis B. And what it ended up doing was giving them AIDS. He says that's why, I mean, the United States of America, homosexuals were singled out and used in this experiment because they're a high opportunity to contract hepatitis. And then in other countries in Europe, there are both classes that were used in the experiment. And he says that's exactly how it was done. I don't know if it's true, amen, but it sounds plausible because this is really a wide epidemic. But homosexual rape is dealt with exactly as heterosexual rape. For example, a homosexual act performed on a boy between the ages of 14 and 18 is punishable by 5 years in prison. Well, that's what, huh? We're in heaven? Yes, sir. Brother, you can take it downstairs and copy it. Write in the copier if you want to. It won't be any problem with me, okay? There's a copier downstairs. Copy that joker. Matter of fact, make copies for everybody, because that's really what you want to put in your book, amen? Because, to me, you always have this great big idealized concept of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And you read the Bible and you say, man, these guys got to be going along some way. But then you find out that the people, most of the people there are atheists. People don't believe in God. They're Jews, but they have no relationship with God. They don't want a relationship with God. They just want to live their lives the way they want to live it. There's only a few people that are made fun of. They're the Haredi or whatever they're called. And there's two names for those people. I can't even pronounce it yet. But they're the strict Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox religious people. And, you know, they try to do things right, but most of the country's gone to pot. Like I showed you before in another class, there are in Tel Aviv 300 prostitutes, most of them Jewish, ran by Arab pimps. I mean, it's unconscionable for our thoughts. Think, how could that be, man? But really, when you get down to the end of the time, you find out those people in Israel, they'll be raping all the women, having sexual relationships with everybody and stuff like this. That's what the Bible shows is going to happen to those people there. Everybody's going to be laying with their neighbor's wife and all this stuff. Yes, sir. At least. Oh, the AIDS article. Let me think about this. Oh, okay. Yes, I understand now. If I can remember, even get back before Mitch. Sorry, brother. Really sorry. Okay, now let's go on with Lamentations chapter 3. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. Now remember, we're still trying to figure out who this guy is or what he represents. And to some extent, I think I got a handle on it a little bit better last night. But I am the man that has seen affliction. Psalms 66, 10 through 14. What about affliction? Isn't that terrible, brother? Look, I can't leave this ball unbounced, boy. I got to pick it up and dribble. I got to find out who this boy is, driving me bozo. I got one more week, amen. So I can take time and go back. I know it's disconcerting. I did that same thing with Nehemiah, but I had to go back and start all over. I mean, there's more things. You know, see what I did is I start reading over it again, and more things start popping in. I'm going to try to put those things in as long as I can. Oh, that was a good one, please, brother. Oh, that was a good one. Psalm 66. Yeah, we may not even make it that far today. Psalm 66, verses 10 through 14. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou hast laid affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. So afflictions purify. And that's what he's saying here. Well, I mean, that's what's saying in the Psalms. That's about what they're going through here. They're going through some type of purification and something that I don't understand. Evidently, these guys got something in them as a nation that's going to have to be almost driven out of them and beat out of them and scourged out of them and persecuted out of them. And you know their history. Ever since they said their blood be upon us and upon our children, the life of the Jew has been one of a tenuous relationship with other people. One where they're always in doubt whether or not today something's going to happen or today it'll break out. Like I told you before, they got all these great organizations in the United States of America and throughout the world that try to repress anti-Semitic feelings. Anything anti-Semitic, they write it down and they catalog it and they move against it with legal action, all types of stuff, trying to repress it. What they're doing, they've set up a protective shield for themselves. They know persecution is something that's going to come. It's indigenous to them. It's going to come to them. It's going to happen in their lives. So they work all these things out to try to protect themselves. It's not going to work. There is something in the Jewish people that God is going to iron and persecute out of them and beat out of them. And that's what this thing pictures right here. They're going through affliction that purifies. Psalms 44, 9 through 26. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the places of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. So, afflictions are part and parcel of what the Jewish people have to go through. Psalms 107. For give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. All the men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. And the whole chapter here, I mean, first 21 verses, talks about these people in affliction. They're bound. They're bound in iron. Remember, I told you it's almost like they're in prison. They're chained down. So, it's a picture of what afflictions are like. Such as sit in darkness. Right there, whoever's speaking in three says, you've led me into darkness and not into light. It's a picture of the Jewish people. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. That's why they go through these things. They're rebellious people, amen? Maybe that's what God's going to get out of them. Rebellion. Because the Bible says rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. I mean, that may be what he's working out of these people. But there's something he's trying to definitely get out of them. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Well, he hasn't done that yet for these guys. Excuse me. All the men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Didn't it say someplace about a prison? Oh, wow. Yeah, I thought there was some... I thought there was some place talking about a prison. Then after a while, you could see anything, any place. Amen? If you don't write it down, you'll never know what you're doing with so many classes to worry about. But I know I've seen that word prison someplace in some text. Now I can't think of it. Okay, well, I thought it was in this place, in Lamentation someplace. Okay. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Look, that's what this nation is going through. Affliction because of their iniquity. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. I mean, you get affliction so much, you don't want to eat, you don't want to do nothing, man. You're just sick. No food's going to be a benefit to you. Then they cry on the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. All the men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. So, what's happening here is that type of rejoicing part hasn't happened yet. Amen? They're going through the part where they're in the meat of it, the thick of it, the battle, where they're going through the afflictions and they're suffering. And then, internally, afflictions are an integral part of the book of Lamentations. Lamentations 1:3. Judah has gone into captivity because of affliction. 1:7. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction. 1:9. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She hath no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction. Then 3:1 in our text, and then 3:19. Remember mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Nehemiah chapter 9 talks about affliction. Is that right? Nehemiah 1:3, I think, does, doesn't it? And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And Nehemiah 9:9 talks about the affliction of the Jewish people. I mean, they were afflicted when they were going through the process, and then even come back to the land, they're in affliction. These people, no affliction. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad I don't know affliction like that. Glad my people in my past don't know that type of affliction. I can't imagine being yanked up out of a home, armies coming in. We don't know those types of things here in the United States. We just don't know what it's like. To me, it would be a nightmare to go through this type of stuff. And I'm sure it must be a nightmare to them, because they're people like anybody else. They'd like to enjoy peace and quiet, tranquility, be able to see their children grow up and have things. Their lives have been one destruction after another destruction. It's real bad. Okay, Nehemiah 9, is that what I said? Yes. 9:9. And did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heard us their cry by the Red Sea. So in Egypt they were afflicted. They got a history of affliction. People treating them bad. Getting the wrong end of the stick, amen? But still they come out very well. For all the things they've been through. Any other type of people would have been under by now. I'm sure there are plenty of races of people that, you know, had a line and that line died out because of just such type of things as this. You know, 100 years ago, they didn't have, well just over 100 years ago, they didn't have hypodermic needles and stuff like this. Can't imagine going to the dentist and having them pull your teeth. I don't know what they even used, man. They made it, just stuck something in there and just knocked it out. I don't know how they did it, but I tell you what. People 150 years ago, man, had a life rough. Today we got it easy, man. You get all kinds of problems taken care of through an operation, anesthetic, no problem. We don't know what affliction and pain and sorrow and suffering really are. We have no concept of what it really is. But it's bad. And I would not want to go through it myself. We were really living a life of Riley, amen. We're in king's houses because we got nice clothes, God takes care of us. It's just a miracle to be living. And this time, under the circumstances, conditions which we now find ourselves. It's a miracle and a blessing. Then Hosea 5:15. I'm just showing you that the afflictions are related to Jewish people like what's a good close relationship? Like a fly on sugar, amen? It's always going to come around. Just leave it long enough. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. And it goes on and on and on and on. It tells about all the things that this person is going through. Verse 15. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. Now Ezekiel 33:32, Ezekiel was the people's song. In Job chapter 30, verses 9 and 1, Job was the song of the people. In Psalm 69:72, David was the song of the people. Psalms 119, well, you don't have to go into that. It just talks about people, they were in derision. That means, I had it written down someplace. People make fun of you and mock. That's derision. Bad enough to be in bad, going through bad things without people mocking and making fun of you. That's what derision is. Verse 1 again. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. Verse 53 and 54. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast the stone upon me. Water has overflowed my head. Then I said, I am cut off. Well, he wasn't dead, was he? If they cut off his life, he still wasn't dead. He was talking. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters overflowed mine head. Then I said, I am what? Cut off. I was cut off. So I is making a reference. Whoever it is, they were the ones cut off. Amen? What's wrong, brother? I'm trying to build this up slowly. Amen? I want to slip this in on you guys real quick without you noticing it. Amen? I'm trying to talk myself into it. You guys don't care. You're no fun. Now, I was cut off, right? Is that what it said? I was cut off? Good. I was cut off. We're going to try to find out who this guy I is. Hey, somebody's got to have some fun. If I don't have fun, you guys are just going to have fun. So, now go to Lamentations chapter 2. Yeah, amen, brother. I'm trying to be too. Okay. Lamentations chapter 2. Start with verse 1. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger? The Lord hath swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. He hath cut off in his anger all the what? All the horn of Israel. If there is any type of personification of what could be done, that's the man, representing the power and the ability that the Jews had. That horn was cut off in the book of Lamentations. All their power to exist completely leveled. What does that mean to be cut off? Where do you get the picture of? Do you have an idea? Looky here. Take that finger. What do? You cut that off, what happens? You just left there with a stub. Now looky here. Let's go to Psalms 132. Starting with verse 1. Psalms 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. All his what? Afflictions. How he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Sure. Sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we have heard it at Ephrathah, we have founded in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles, we will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set up thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever, here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision, I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to what? Why is it going to have to bud? Because it was cut off. To me, the implication is that whatever type of power represented Israel, their horn, that power is looking back, saying, look what's happened. My people are killed. Cities destroyed. All this ruin's come upon me. I'm just cut off now. I'm cut off from being a power. That's the best explanation I can give so far as who's talking. What is wrong with you, Rich Mitch? Huh? He gives me a bad time all the time, don't he? Really, it is an enigma. That sounds pretty good. I like this one. Okay, now we'll go back to 37, where I ended. Amen? Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Nobody. There's nothing you can make come about all by yourself. God's the one that has to do it. I was reading a book. It was on electricity, an introduction to electricity. It told about all these guys, Morris, who's a Bell, Alexander Graham Bell, and stuff like this. You know, when they did their work, what they did is they attributed to God. What hath God wrought? I think that's one of the sayings went over a wireless. You know, what hath God wrought? And stuff like this. But I kept thinking to myself, how these men acknowledged that God did the work in their lives. Look, they could have never done it without God. I mean, if they would have been able to do it without God, they could have done it many years before. Amen? But gentlemen, the abilities we have, the capabilities we have, the opportunities we have only come from God. Nothing else. Look, we could all have our brains gelled just like that by a blood clot. It's only God that keeps us going. It's a miracle to be breathing air, especially for me. Smoked for 23 years. It's a miracle. I've got lung. I mean, I thank the Lord for it. A lot of things he's done for me like that. Just brought me a few things and come out okay. It's just a miracle. Everything's because of God. No one can make up some big idea and bring it about themselves. It just won't work. If they try to do anything, God gives them the ability to go a long way. Amen. And that's what he's done with a lot of people today. Give them great and genius minds. But you know what they do? They spend all their time tinkering with minute details of a very complex thing and never see the big picture. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Nobody. Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good? Sure. Evil for us, amen. Not bad, not sin, amen. But there are some things that come upon our lives that God allows to happen that are evil to us, but that's not sin. He allows things to happen to people. And, man, he brings evil to pass on people. He brought evil to pass upon these people. He said, look, you do this, this is going to happen. They did it. It happens. Let us... Sorry. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Because we don't like pain, amen? We don't want to be in pain. We want to be out of it. We wish it was over with. We wish we never got in the situation in the first place. There's a lot of reason to complain, but the real issue is, look, Junior, you did it, you're paying the price, amen? That's what people don't want. They don't want to pay that price. No, I don't want to pay the price, amen? But you have to realize, things we suffer, whether it's money problems, health problems, whatever, we're getting what we deserve. Either that or we're going through some type of testing process or trying to prove us. And probably we know what it is one way or the other. Amen. You know if you've done wrong, you haven't confessed it. You're not being honest with other people and above board and things like that. So what does he say about this? Well, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. That's right. They're going to go through this process a long time, but then the pardon will come, Jeremiah 33. Then when the pardon comes, there'll be a great time rejoicing. Jeremiah 33, 1 through 9. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof. Now, the maker thereof, I don't know what the maker of, amen? I don't know if he's the maker of the prison or Jeremiah. He's maker of something. The Lord that formed it, established it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. I can't figure out what the word refers to. Does anybody know? Hard one, isn't it? You read over there, I've heard people say it refers to the earth. Well, I don't see the earth, amen? I don't see it in there any place. It might be the earth, but I don't know that. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with dead bodies of men. Say, look, this place is going to be torn down. You're going to come and fight against them, but they ain't going to do any good. They're going to die. They're going to be filled up. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from the city. That's in the book of Lamentations. It talks about he's hiding his face, they're not hearing the prayers, he's concealed himself in a cloud that their prayers can't get through. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities. So, after this last final one, amen, that they're going through in the book of Lamentations, there'll be clear sailing for them. Their iniquities be pardoned. I get a new heart, new thing created in them. It'll be wonderful. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. Oh, and it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. So there's a good time coming for the Jewish people, but they're going to have to go through quite a lot before that's manifested. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare has come upon us. Desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. Jeremiah in Jeremiah 9:1 said, Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eye is a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. But a man can't do that. You only go so far, amen, then you're dried up. You only cry about something so long, and then something's over and takes place. Something takes its place. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without intermission, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters overflowed mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the city that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. It's almost like an indication that whoever's talking sees that something's going to take place and change is going to come. God's going to hear his prayer, and then things are going to turn out differently. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me in all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. So, it goes from a person who's going through all types of problems to a point where they find out that they have hope. Then when they have hope, then they start praying, Lord, take care of all these other people that are so happy over the destruction that they've went through. And you're seeing it time again in the book of Obadiah where the people that were around when the Jews were getting destroyed, they were happy about it. And today, if the Jews get destroyed and they get set back, people are happy about it. The Arabs love it. Amen? And so the Bible says to us that when we think how it goes, when somebody that's given us a bad time, something happens to them, no, don't rejoice about it. Amen. Because God sees you rejoice and say, okay, no more bad time for those guys. Something about you rejoice when somebody else is going through problems. It's not good. So all these people here that are rejoicing all the problems the Jewish people have, says, hey, that whoever it is, amen, speaking in 3:1, says, hey, look what they're doing. They're rejoicing. They're happy as punch. We're music to them. They're dancing. They're having a good time. They enjoy all things we're going through. So that turns God's attention away from whoever's being afflicted to the people who are making the fun and the music and stuff like that. Pardon? How can the city be praying to God? You see? There's something about that city that shows it has a soul or a spirit or something. And this horn, I don't know, it talks about in the book of Daniel, about when one of them horns raises up, the horn speaketh. It says that right in the book of Daniel. So, brother, pardon? Yeah, well, look at here. That horn is still, it's spiritual. The horn represents a person, amen? The person speaks. I have no idea, brother. I don't know how a city could speak. All I know, there are spiritual things that go on we're not aware of. Something's speaking here, amen? It's not one person. We already went through, eliminated all the people who could be, and it can't be any of them, because a lot of things are happening that it can't be just one person. So we came to one conclusion that it would have to be something, an entity representing a corporate group. But really, even further than that, parts about being cut off. To me, it implies that this horn, whatever the horn is, I mean, it may have a soul or spirit. Yeah, it represents all those things. But I'm saying that horn evidently has a voice to speak. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Right. It could be. But see, to explain it further, brother, I have no ability, amen. Really, you want to stand on your head just trying to figure it out to begin with, let alone try to explain the finer points. I just don't know. Verse 65, give them a sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. So, gentlemen, one thing you want to know, if you have a sorrowful heart and it continues, that's a curse to you. That is a curse. A guy wrote in Bible Institute about a week and a half ago, he's a Bible Institute student someplace. He wrote in and said, pray for me. Something has happened in my life, like a chemical imbalance has taken place, And he says, now I've just been experienced the most deep depressions. I tell you what, that guy is sunk. We have a woman across the street from us. She moved into the Rives home. Excuse me. And just a few weeks after she moved into the Rives home, she got some type of a chemical imbalance, and she ended up out in the VA on the mental ward, and just woke up out there after being there weeks. Can you imagine that? Theory isn't the word. I mean, here she is on a mental ward in a VA hospital, woke up, don't know what's going on, and it took them, I don't know how many months, 2 or 3 months to figure out what's going on. I don't know how long she's out there. But can you imagine her husband comes home, finds her on the floor, and doesn't know what to do, send her to a hospital, and then they have to send her to a mental ward, all because of a chemical imbalance. But this guy, he said he was experiencing severe depression. I tell you what, depression, sorrow, heart, boy, that's a kicker right there. You're not going any place if your heart's down. You're not going any place very quick. Does somebody want to say something? Yes, sir. Okay. I don't know, but what happened? That girl's about 30 years old, and they say that this is some type of problem that people can get about that age, a chemical imbalance. And for a woman, you know, their chemistry is already touchy, amen? Because now one day, it could be Claw City. So for her to have a chemical imbalance that bad, oh, she's in a mental ward. I mean, it's real rough. So now they started giving her some type of medication to counterbalance that. But that poor guy wrote in, and Brother Greg read it, said, man, I'm going through depression. Something's happened. I mean, it just happened to him just like that. No indication that anything was like that in his history. Just like that happened. I mean, that's amazing for two people within about a month to come up, you know, to find out about something you never even heard of before in your whole life. The sorrow of heart really is a curse. I mean, people who are morose, angry all the time, look angry all the time, bad deal, amen? People don't even want to be around those people. There's just something about it, it's just unpleasant. It's a curse. They lose friends easy that way. Chapter 4. How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. You know, gentlemen, sometimes there are things that we highly esteem, that we think are very, very important, that when the chips are down, they don't mean anything. Look here. You guys have aspirations and desires, hopes. You have all these things you've set your affections upon here on this earth. But you know what happened? Today you go to the doctor. The doctor says, you got terminal cancer. You got 6 months to live. How does the gold become dim? Amen? You can have tons of gold. Brother, I tell you what, wouldn't make one bit of difference at all. I'm telling you the truth. I know. I've been close to death plenty of times, seen myself deteriorate physically with problems that would end up in death. I tell you the truth. Some things just lose their glitter. And you really start appreciating just the fact that you're breathing. And you appreciate air and trees. I mean, there's something about the sun coming out on a nice spring day. It just transforms you. But really, a lot of things in this life aren't worth it. Amen? They're just not worth it. How has the gold become dim? How has the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. None of that stuff means anything. And you see all that destruction. I mean, there may be a point you say, well, I get a chunk of that, put it in my pocket and take it with me, you know. But even after a while, I mean, you're talking about a long siege, a long period of time. These people are going through problems. None of that stuff makes any difference. They're ready to get out any way they can. When the Romans surrounded Jerusalem and was trying to take it and stuff like this, what the Jews did, they would take their gold and swallow their gold. Amen? And then they'd walk out. And they give themselves up to the Romans, and the Romans didn't want to hurt them anyway. They just wanted to calm these people down. They had to make a show of force. So these people went out and gave themselves up. Then they go someplace and go to the rescue and get out the gold, and they're on their way again. Amen? And you know what happened to those jokers? Some people find out they were doing it, so every Jew came out, man, like the Arabians or whatever they were, whatever people around there, not Romans, they take these Jews aside, slit them open up their belly and get the goods. So it turned out bad for them, amen? I mean, there are people who will try to take the gold even in bad times. But there is a point where it gets too bad even to take that. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? Even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. Talking about these people get to the point where they don't even take care of their own children. They said the sea monsters even draw out the breast. The sea monsters even take care of their babies. A monster is this. An animal produced with a shape or with parts that are not natural, as when the body is ill-formed or distorted, or limbs are too few or too many, or when any part is extravagantly out of proportion, either through defect or excess. That's what a monster is. I mean, you could almost say a whale is a monster, amen? Because it is out of proportion to anything we know. So he's saying that these people have become cruel now. They're like an ostrich. They'll step on the eggs, walk over them, not even consider that their eggs are there. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. Why? Mom ain't feeding the baby. After a while, number one becomes the only concern. I'd hate to be in a position like that where I was mentally brought down so low that my kids wouldn't make any difference to me. But gentlemen, we could come to that point. Like Brother Pike said, worm brought, beat, 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 to the point where he got up and said, I did this. Did you do this? I did it. You did that? I did that. His wife, he said, passed out, fainted because she couldn't believe her husband had really been involved in all that. Was he really involved in that? No. He'd just been tortured so much, he'd really give up anything, admit anything. John, we have limits, amen? We have limits. And God save us from reaching those limits. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them. No, they're keeping it for themselves. Listen, Jim, you're hungry, you're going to keep that stuff for yourself, amen? You're not going to give it to anybody. Because you might tell yourself, well, if I'm surviving, at least I can look out for them, amen? I have to be strong enough to take care of them, give it to them. They're too weak to take care of themselves anyway. I have to be the one that's strong because I know what I'm doing. I have mental faculties and ability. And you tell yourself all that stuff. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. That's right. No matter how high you are, man, you'd probably eat the dung to fill up your stomach if it came to that. No doubt about it. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown as in a moment and no hand stayed on her. Saying, look, Solomon, it was over within a few hours, amen? But this has lasted and lasted and lasted and lasted and lasted. And it's lasting for a reason. It's purifying these people. It's getting something out of them. Now, you're probably going through something now, amen? Some problem. Something that's really affliction to you. It's all working out to purify you. Somehow. Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was a sapphire. Now, it doesn't say now, but the colon implies, giving a definition now, what's to follow. Their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It has become like a stick. So, they had some people in this city when the overthrow comes that are good people. But that doesn't stop the destruction from coming. And because these people are good people, you notice how they are? They're black. Everything cleaves to their bones, stuff like this. What does that show you? Shows you they didn't eat their kids. Amen? Shows you they didn't eat somebody else. It shows you that they stood by whatever type of principles they had, even though they were going through rough times. They went through it. And that's an example to us. Even though this world may be turned upside down with wickedness in every corner, TV, newspaper, radios, magazines, see it in the streets, the whole works. Even all those things are going on in our society, we personally need to do right, amen? We need to do the best we can do and stick by as much as what God wants us to do as long as we can do it. That's what God wants out of our lives. Look here, these guys had a good report, those Nazarites, didn't they? They had a real good report. A lot of things is shown about these people in their lives. Will it be that way for us when we go through problems and difficulties? Will we stick in there, stay in there, and stick it out no matter how rough and how hard the times get? That's what God wants, amen? There's a little glimmer of light here in this. Because it does show you that some people can get through it in the right way. I mean, there's hope throughout the whole Bible, amen? Even the worst parts, there is hope. But there's no hope for people in hell. There's hardly any hope there. But there's hope for us in that after that's done away with one of these days, and everything in hell and separated from it and all that, then there's hope that our lives will be happy and enjoyable, pleasing God, we'll always be in fellowship, things will go right. There's a lot of hope there in that. Their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It has become like a stick. Ooh. Can you imagine having skin as hard as a stick? Well, it's hard as a stick because it's sticking right to them bones. That's why. You got a lot of flesh there. Even your fingers are nice and meaty. Amen? But, brother, you can really get down to hardly anything and still be walking around. Terrible what a person can look like after starvation. They that be slain with a sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. Why? For these pine away, stricken through for one of the fruits of the field. Haven't you ever fasted? And you're fasting, and you get to the end of the day, and you got through all the shakes and stuff like this, and then you start thinking about food, and you think, man, oh man, what if they ever quit making food? I mean, they could end up not ever. I could end up never eating again. You know that? Something can happen. They end up never getting food again. I better eat. We want that food, boy. That's the way it is. Something about our stomach, man. It can't stand to be separated from that food. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The hands of the pitiful people. They were compassionate one time. Amen. Those hands that took those little kids and killed them, put them in the pot, those hands were pitiful at one time. They were compassionate toward their children. Now, no longer compassionate, no more pitiful. Looking out for number one, yourself. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord hath accomplished his fury. He hath poured out his fierce anger. He hath kindled a fire in Zion. And it hath devoured the foundations thereof.